Spoštovani gospe in gospodje, lep pozdrav vsem skupaj. Vesel sem, da včeraj in danes gostimo na uradnem obisku v Sloveniji predsednika vlade kraljevine Danske, gospoda Rasmussena. To je njegov drugi obisk v Sloveniji v 16 letih, odkar imamo plodne stike in sodelovanje. To je eden od najvišjih obiskov. Glede na to, da so odnosi med državama dobri, da ni nekih odprtih vprašanj, smo večino časa namenili skupnim evropskim temam, še posebej prioritetnim temam, s katerimi se Slovenija ukvarja v času predsedovanja Evropske unije in seveda tudi možnostim, ki obstajajo za to, da se medsebojno bilateralno oziroma gospodarsko sodelovanje še okrepi. Naj povem, da še vse gospodarsko sodelovanje v zadnjih letih intenzivno narašča. Leta 2006 je blagovna menjava med državama znašala preko 300 milijonov evrov in v prvih 10 mesecih lanskega leta se je povečala za blizu 15%. Ena od panog, kjer obstajajo še neizkoriščene možnosti za krepitev sodelovanja, je turizem. Tudi temu smo namenili nekaj besed. Sicer pa je Danska za Slovenijo zgled nekaterih zelo dobrih praks, še posebej z področja delovne zakonodaje, ko je Slovenija v lanskem letu sprejemala nov zakon o delovnih razmerjih, je skupina, ki je zakon pripravljala, obiskala Dansko. Dansko so obiskali tudi socialni partnerji, še vse sindikati, tako da so se na lastne oči prepričali, kako deluje tako imenovani sistem prožne varnosti. In vesel sem, da je Slovenija tudi s pomočjo socialnega dialoga, ki je se trajal dobri 2 leti in ob skoraj soglasni podpori parlamenta, sprejela zakon o delovnih razmerjih, ki je blizu tega sistema. Torej se zahvaljujemo danski vladi, ki je bila pripravljena posredovati to dobro prakso tudi za Slovenijo. Drugo področje, kjer je Danska Slovenija za zgled, je varstvo okolja. Povečevanje obnovljivih virov energije v nacionalni energetski bilanci. Glede na to, da je Evropska komisija prejšnji teden predlagala okoljsko-energetski paket in glede na to, da je to ena od prioritet slovenskega predsedovanja, smo veliko časa v naših pogovorih posvetili ravno temu. Strinjamo se, da mora biti Evropa tukaj ambiciozna, tako da bomo sodelovali tudi pri pripravi predlogov zaključkov za časovnico sprejemanja tega paketa, ki naj bi Evropski svet sprejemal marca letos. Danska je še posebej uspešna tukaj, ko gre za, kot sem že prej dejal, povečevanje obnovljivih virov energije v energetski bilanci. Tudi Slovenija mora po teh obvezah iz tega paketa povečati delež obnovljivih virov na 25%, kar je velik zalogaj in z veseljem bomo proučili vse dobre prakse, ki obstajajo v drugih državah članicah in kot že rečeno je Danska tukaj vodilna. Zdaj smo že nekaj let zavezniki ne samo v Evropski uniji, ampak tudi v NATO, tako da je bil del pogovorov namenjen tudi tem temam, bližnjemu vrhu NATO. Prosili smo Dansko za podporo politiki odprtih vrat Severoatlantskega zavezništva in tukaj imamo zelo podobno stališča. Podpiramo to politiko odprtih vrat, seveda ob pogoju, da so vse zahteve, ki so potrebne za polnopravno članstvo, izpolnjene. Seveda je beseda tekla tudi o enem od ključnih zunanjepolitičnih izzivov, ki je v tem času pred Evropsko unijo. To so razmere na Zahodnem Balkanu s posebnim poudarkom na določenju bodočega statusa Kosova. Pogovarjali smo se o zaključkih sveta znanih ministrov, ki je bil končan predvčerajšnjim, ki se je ukvarjal predvsem z evropsko perspektivo Srbijo. Pozdravili smo odločitev, da se tukaj naredi korak naprej in skupaj se zauzemamo tudi za rešitev, ko gre za določanje prihodnega statusa Kosova, ki bo dolgoročno stabilizirala regijo Zahodnega Balkana in ki bo Evropsko unijo na tej točki ohranila enotno. Govorili smo tudi o nekaterih drugih kriznih žariščih v svetu, še vse tistih, kjer smo oboji angažirani, bodi si preko NATO, bodi si preko Evropske unije, eno od takšnih je Afganistan. Danska je prevzela na svoje ramena precej velik delež odgovornosti pri zagotavljanju miru in stabilnosti v Afganistanu, tudi Slovenija tam prisotna. Relativno gledano na število prebivalcev in moč slovenske vojske, približno enako. Tako da smo zelo zainteresirani, da tudi drugi naši zavezniki v NATO zagotovijo svoj delež sile oziroma odgovornosti in da tudi Evropska unija, ko gre za policijsko misijo in za pomoč pri krepitvi stabilnosti civilne družbe in funkcioniranja civilne administracije v Afganistanu, izpolni svoje zaveze. Toliko na kratko, še enkrat, zelo sem vesel, da smo lahko včeraj in danes izmenjali vrsto stališč, ki Sloveniji koristijo še posebej v tem času, ko ima na svojih ramenih odgovornost vodene Evropske unije. Gospod Rasmussen ima tukaj veliko izkušenj, bil je predsednik Evropskega sveta v času, ko se je odločilo o tem, da tudi Slovenija postane članica Evropske unije, vsi v Sloveniji se ga spomnimo po njegovi podpori našemu članstvu in zaradi tega smo še posebej veseli njegovega obiska.
Prime Minister, thank you very much for your warm words of welcome. It is really a great pleasure for me to visit Slovenia. Slovenia and Denmark have very good bilateral relations. We have discussed how we can further develop relations between Slovenia and Denmark. And I would like to say that I am really deeply impressed by the exceptional economic success achieved by Slovenia. And let me also take this opportunity to congratulate you on your presidency of the European Union. It is really a historic event that Slovenia now holds the rotating presidency of the European Union. It is the first of the new member states to take over the presidency of the European Union, and we wish you all of success in your endeavors to ensure progress for the European Union during your term as president of the European Union. As you mentioned, we negotiated the accession of Slovenia and the other applicant countries in the second half of 2002 during the Danish presidency of the European Union, and I still remember that Friday in December 2002 when we concluded negotiations. And it is really a pleasure for me to see Slovenia as a fully fledged member of the European Union, and it's a pleasure for us to cooperate with Slovenia within the European Union as well as within NATO. And it is remarkable what has been achieved by Slovenia since independence in 1991. Membership of NATO in March 2004, membership of the EU in May 2004, participation in the Euro from January 2007, entered the Schengen area in December last year, and yesterday your parliament decided to ratify the Lisbon Treaty. I would really like to congratulate Slovenia on all these remarkable results. As mentioned by the Prime Minister, we have touched upon a number of international and European issues during our talks, I would just like to stress two points. Firstly, the situation in this part of Europe, in the region, the southeastern part of Europe. We agree that the future of all countries in the southeastern part of Europe lies in Europe, within our European and transatlantic structures. It's important for us to ensure a clear European perspective for all countries in the Western Balkans. We are now faced with a big challenge concerning Kosovo. I think it's of utmost importance that the European Union remains united in handling Kosovo, and for us it's important that the European Union stands ready to play a leading role in implementing a settlement defining Kosovo's future status. For us it's also important to send a clear positive signal to Serbia concerning a European perspective. Of course, we must insist on full cooperation between Serbia and the War Tribunal in The Hague, but we see a clear European perspective for Serbia, and we want the European Union to underline that and to send signals, and a couple of days ago the European Union sent such a signal to Serbia. Croatia is well on its way in the accession negotiations, and we hope to see continued progress in the accession negotiations between Croatia and the European Union. As far as NATO is concerned, we are in favor of the open door policy. We would very much like to see a positive steps forward concerning Croatia, Macedonia and Albania at the upcoming NATO summit in April. Let me then turn to the energy package. We focus a lot on developing a common European energy policy. In that respect, we warmly welcome the energy package presented by the Commission last week. We think it is crucial to reduce our dependence on imported fossil fuels. To that end, we need to increase the share of renewable energy in our energy supply. We have fixed very ambitious targets for an increase in the production of renewable energy. We support these ambitious targets. We will do our utmost to fulfill these targets, and we support the Presidency and the European Commission in their endeavors to implement these ambitious targets. We also have an obligation to improve the global climate. And to that end, we need ambitious targets concerning a reduction in greenhouse gas emissions. The European Union has taken global leadership in that respect through ambitious targets on reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. We support the Commission proposal to that end as well, and we will do our utmost to fulfill our obligations concerning a reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. There is also a global aspect in this, and we would very much like the European Union to take global leadership. We aim at reaching a comprehensive global agreement on climate in 2009. Denmark is going to host a UN climate change conference in Copenhagen in December 2009, and to ensure a comprehensive global agreement at that conference by the end of 2009, we need EU leadership, and therefore we support the Slovenian presidency in carrying the energy package forward, because it is crucial that the European Union show a good example at the global stage, and all in all that the European Union plays the strongest possible role at the global stage. That goes also for energy and climate. Therefore, we do hope that the European Union can agree on this energy package at the latest by the end of this year, and we will support the Slovenian presidencies in pushing for that. Thank you.
Hvala lepa.
Reuters. I have a question for both Prime Ministers. My question concerns Kosovo. I'd like to know whether you are signing, whether the European Union is signing any pact with Serbia if Nikolic wins. And also my question is, diplomatic sources tell us that Kosovo is likely to declare independence a week or two after the Serbian vote. Can you comment on this? And what will be European Union's next step if that happens? Thank you.
Odločitev o tem, koga izvolijo svojega predsednika, je v rokah volivk in volivcev Srbije. In Evropska unija je ponudila ta sporazum, ki naj bi podpisan naslednji mesec, srbski vladi in Srbiji, in seveda je to dodatni dokaz, da Evropska unija vidi Srbijo v okviru evropske družine. Seveda pa to ne pomeni, da s tem kakšen od pogojev, ki ga mora vsaka država članica izpolniti, Srbiji ne bo potrebno izpolniti, torej gre za povsem jasno igro. In igralci so na obeh straneh, se pravi, ni odvisno samo od Evropske unije, kako hitra bo ta pot, kdaj se bodo kakšni sporazumi podpisovali, ampak je to seveda odvisno tudi od Srbije. In glede na to, kakšna programa imata oba kandidata, bodo volivci v Srbiji seveda odločali tudi o tem, kako hitro bo približevanje te države Evropski uniji. Vendar pa so tukaj vloge in pristojnosti zelo jasno razmejene. Ko gre za špekulacijo o tem, kdaj bo ali pa kdaj ne bi Kosovo razglasilo neodvisnost, je stališče Evropske unije glede tega vprašanja jasno že od decembrskega Evropskega sveta, kjer je Evropski svet sprejel politična izhodišča o tem, kako reševati to vprašanje oziroma kako pristopiti k reševanju tega vprašanja. In znotraj tega političnega okvira, ki je bil sprejet na Evropskem svetu, je seveda tudi pričakovanje, da se na Kosovu ne bo dogajalo nič enostranskega, kajti enostranske poteze, ki ne bi bile dogovorjene, lahko zgolj destabilizirajo regijo. Tako da pričakujemo, da bodo vsi ravnali odgovorno, vključno z kosovsko vlado.
I would like to comment on your question first regarding Serbia. Firstly, we will of course respect the outcome of democratic elections in Serbia. Secondly, this implies that whoever wins the elections in Serbia, we will stick to the positive political signals to Serbia. But thirdly, further progress in Serbia will of course depend on the political developments in Serbia, including the condition of full participation with the War Tribunal in The Hague. But this conditionality should, in my opinion, not exclude that we take positive steps here and now to clearly demonstrate our will to improve relations between Serbia and the European Union. And then it's very much up to Serbia herself to ensure further progress in the relations between Serbia and the European Union. As far as Kosovo is concerned, I do hope that the European Union, in unity, will decide on deployment of an ESDP mission as soon as possible. I think at the beginning of February we could make such an agreement. As the Prime Minister has already mentioned, we have de facto made that decision in the European Council in December. So we are very much in favour of implementing that decision as soon as possible.
Hello, my name is Boris Cherny from Bloomberg News. Question for Ms. Prime Minister Rasmussen. Can you tell us about plans of Denmark to ratify the Lisbon Treaty? And of course, another question is, when do you plan a referendum on the entry into the Eurozone? Thank you.
Firstly, concerning the ratification process, we have decided to ratify by a parliamentary process. We have already had the first reading on the legislation in the Danish Parliament. It took place a few days ago, and I expect the Danish Parliament to finalize the ratification procedure before Easter. So Denmark will probably be among the first to ratify the Lisbon Treaty by a parliamentary process. Secondly, you asked about the Danish opt-outs. As you may know, Denmark has three opt-outs concerning defense cooperation, justice and home affairs cooperation, and the euro. And you ask me, when are you going to abolish these opt-outs? As you may know, it requires a referendum to get rid of the Danish opt-outs. In our new governmental platform, which was published after the elections in November, we have announced our intention to put the Danish opt-out to a referendum during this new parliamentary term. I'm not able to present to you an exact timetable. We are in a process of considerations on that. We have negotiations with political parties in the Danish Parliament, and very much will depend on these considerations and negotiations. But clearly it's my view that the opt-outs are not to the benefit of Danish interests. On the contrary, I want Denmark to become a fully fledged member of the European Union. I want Denmark at the heart of European cooperation, and this is the reason why it's my clear political goal to abolish the Danish opt-outs. But today I'm not able to say how and when, but it will be during this parliamentary term that we will ask the Danish people to reassess the Danish opt-outs. Yeah.